I'm Sarah Gonzalez, and this is The Takeaway. I'm in the host seat while Tenzina Vega is reporting from Puerto Rico. She's been talking to Puerto Ricans about their reaction to the news media's coverage of Hurricane Maria 1 year ago. We'll hear that conversation later in the show. But first, in Michigan's largest public school district, students came back from the summer break this year to no running drinking water.
Testing in several buildings revealed harmful levels of copper and lead.
Elevated lead levels in the drinking water.
There are no federal rules requiring school districts to test for lead in the water. Not one. And only a handful of states have their own laws on the books mandating testing. Michigan is not one of them. And the announcement about tainted water came just days before the school year began.
Not having clean and safe drinking water certainly impedes teachers' ability to properly educate students and for students to learn in that environment.
That's Terrence Martin, Executive Vice President of the city's Teachers Union, the Detroit Federation of Teachers.
From a Detroit teacher's point of view, this just adds to the difficulty of really performing a job. For years and years, we've fought and made national news with the conditions of our buildings, with the horrible conditions of our school buildings. So this is just, you know, one in a long line of the issues that we've had with our physical plant. And it certainly makes the job of teaching students that much more difficult.
Jennifer Chambers is an education reporter with the Detroit News, and she explains how this problem first came to light.
The superintendent of Detroit Public Schools, Nikolai Vitti, announced to staff in an email and parents that he was shutting off all drinking water fountains in all 106 schools across the district after getting test results back in mid-August that found that 16 schools did show elevated levels of copper or lead.
I asked Jennifer about the scale of this problem and if officials know how many schools might be directly affected by contaminated water.
There were 24 schools tested, according to the district. And when results came back, 16 of the 24 had elevated results.
And what is the history in Detroit? Is this the first time that lead has been discovered in Detroit public schools?
No, it's not. We only have testing information that goes back to 2016. But these buildings are, most of them are 100 years old. And as early as the spring of 2016, they did begin water testing, and they did find problems with the water back then. And they switched some schools over at that time to a system called Dehydro, which is a water purification system.
And what was the response among parents and teachers and students to this water shutdown?
I think the very first time people heard the news, they were surprised. But as time went on and we did interview families and teachers, everyone, for the most part, felt like it was the best choice to be safe, to not let the kids have access to any of the drinking fountains while tests were being done. But it did cause parents to wonder and worry, you know, how long had children been drinking at fountains at their own school, and could there have been something in there? Parents did express some frustration at needing to scramble just days before school for bottled water, but there's also a lot of families that said they sent it in anyway because their children did not like how the water tasted. But on the first day of school, I was out at several schools in Detroit, and many parents were unaware that the water had been shut off, and they did not send water in. But the district did provide drinking water in the buildings. On the first day of school, there were these Absopure-style coolers with paper cups, and bottled water was also brought in. And according to the superintendent, that will be the plan for the immediate future, for the next few months, possibly all school year, until a final plan is come up with to address the problem.
I think when people hear Michigan and lead, it automatically brings to mind the situation in Flint. Do you think people in Detroit have confidence that local authorities are capable of adequately responding to this situation?
At the school board meeting last week, many people during public comments stood up and told the school board and superintendent that they needed to replace all the pipes immediately, that this was a travesty, a social injustice, and they were angry. A lot of people believe that the problems with the water is related to aging infrastructure and that the state of Michigan neglected these schools, the physical aspects of these schools, for a decade. But if you talk to some other folks who also spoke at that meeting, they said they understood that the superintendent was addressing the problem and they were pleased about that. So there really is a mixed reaction.
And do you know, is there a timetable for when Detroit plans to fix their water problem in schools?
So once the test results come back from the remaining schools, I think that the superintendent will obviously disclose that material, and there'll be a discussion on how bad the problem is, how widespread it is. He proposed last week a fix that would cost $2 million. It's installing water stations in school buildings and clean water at the source. They'll leave the existing infrastructure in place, but put a secondary line in and attach it to this drinking station. That would come out of the district's budget, although some board members have asked that the state of Michigan pay for it because of state emergency management and the neglect that they allege was caused during that time to infrastructure.
Does Flint have something similar to this, these stations?
No, Flint does not use these water stations, but school districts in Michigan and Metro Detroit, there's two or three that do, and apparently Nicolai Vitti said that Baltimore schools uses them in all their buildings. And I would expect Baltimore has aging old schools just like Detroit does.
Jennifer Chambers, education reporter with the Detroit News. So what are the solutions here? We put that to Terrence Martin, head of the Detroit Teachers Union, who we heard from earlier.
One of the things that we certainly commend the district for doing is providing water systems in the schools. Water coolers are in schools, but still, you know, you have a school district that has to go through these lengths just to provide some of the basic needs to students so they can be focused and ready to learn each and every day.
And Terrence said that while he's hopeful, the school board is accountable to the entire community.
We've heard from our superintendent, and the information that he has provided seems to be solid. But, you know, we've been here before, and so we are anxiously awaiting a long-term solution to this issue. And it's not just teachers and students who are affected, but the community at large needs to be able to have the confidence in the school district, ensuring that children are given the opportunity to drink clean and safe water at school.
And that feeling, Terrence said, extends to schools across the country.
I think this speaks to a large issue in terms of the nationwide divestment into quality public education.
Because while lead-tainted water is an enormous problem for Detroit public schools, Detroit is not alone. Far from it. A July report from the U.S. Government Accountability Office found that 41% of school districts nationwide have yet to run any lead testing on the water.
About 18 million students are in schools that had not tested in the last year or did not know if they had tested for lead in their drinking water.
Alfredo Gomez is the Director of Natural Resources and Environment for the U.S. Government Accountability Office, which was behind this new report. He says 43% of school districts had tested for lead.
And of those that had tested, 37% of the school districts found elevated levels of lead. Now, the good news there, if there is good news, is that all of those school districts had taken actions to try to reduce the exposure of lead to these kids. So doing things like replacing fixtures, turning off fixtures, and also providing bottled water as an interim measure.
But with more than 50 million kids in public schools across the country, interim measures aren't enough, especially when you consider the potential victims.
And kids are particularly at risk because their growing bodies can absorb more lead than adults. And as we know, lead is a neurotoxin that has long-lasting effects.
And there's currently no federal requirement that schools test for lead. So what is the federal government's role in ensuring that students aren't drinking water that's contaminated with lead or copper?
That's correct. There is no federal law currently that requires schools to test for lead in their drinking water. And in the absence of this federal requirement, some states have moved forward and made it a requirement. So, for example, there are 8 states. That was the case when we were doing the work last year. There are 8 states that require schools to test for lead in their drinking water. And these states are California, Illinois, Maryland, Minnesota, New York, New Jersey, Virginia, and also the District of Columbia. Now, there are other states that have also moved forward to provide funding and provide technical support to schools for voluntary testing. So the EPA does provide guidance to states and school districts on lead. And also the Department of Education also provides some information.
And can you tell me more about the roles of the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and the Department of Education? Are they working in tandem?
Yes. Well, so one of our recommendations was actually for the Department of Education and the EPA to collaborate further so they could encourage testing of lead in schools and in drinking water. Our survey showed that about 60% of the school districts were not familiar with the EPA guidance that related to testing and remediation. And also many of the schools didn't know where to go to. So we wanted to make sure that EPA and the Department of Education continue to collaborate so they can get the word out to school districts and the states.
And do you have any sense of why the federal government hasn't mandated this? Like, why don't they just require schools to test their water?
The federal government, the EPA, does have requirements for public water systems to test for lead. This is through the lead and copper rule. And so what happens is a school can be getting its water from the public water supply, right? And the water could be clean or safe. But what can happen is that some of the older schools might have lead piping in their plumbing. They may also have old fixtures, or they may have lead-based solder. And so what happens in schools, because of school schedules, you know, they are not open during the summer, they're closed on weekends, sometimes over holidays. What happens is that the water that's sitting in the pipes, if there's lead in those pipes or in those fixtures, it can leach out into the water. And that's how students can become exposed to lead in schools' drinking water.
And so how big is this challenge? What are some of the biggest obstacles for keeping lead out of schools?
Probably testing. You know, schools, even though there is no requirement at the federal level, some states, as I mentioned, are requiring that of schools. Other states provide funding and technical assistance so that schools can voluntarily do it. And so if it's an older school, it's probably a good idea to test to see if there is any lead in the school's drinking water.
And do you know what schools are doing in response to your findings?
Yeah, so many of the schools, as I mentioned, where we reported that they had found elevated levels of lead, had taken action. So they were trying to reduce or eliminate the exposure of lead by replacing fixtures, turning off fixtures, and then also providing bottled water for its students.
Alfredo Gomez is the Director of Natural Resources and Environment for the U.S. Government Accountability Office. Thanks so much, Alfredo.
Thank you for having me.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.